Upheaval. Reckoning. Chapter 23. Canterlot. For Vanguard Clash, watching the sunrise over Canterlot should have been something special. He was in the capital city of both the Princess of the Sun and the Princess of the Moon. The architecture, the ponies, even the daily rituals that took place should reflect that identity. This would be his first day in the city, when he would get to observe, instead of being off on official matters. He had hoped to see how the Chosen behaved in their territory, and get a better understanding of his friends. Instead, he found himself standing under the awning of the new Legion barracks, and staring at the steady morning rain. Today wasn't going to be the day to see a sunrise in Canterlot. Also, the truth was that he was never going to get a chance to really see how the Chosen were in their territory. With the Legion's presence continuing to grow, and more ponies from the Barrier Lands coming in, however the Chosen behaved among themselves was gone forever.
Back to work, Vanguard? I think you've earned a break after your last mission. Why not take it and see what Canterlot's got?
Vanguard found Night Canter standing behind him. A frown creased his face when he replied.
I asked you not to involve the elements of harmony, Captain Night Canter.
The smile never left Night Canter's face.
I thought about that and decided against it, she replied. It turned out to be a real lifesaver, too. You should be complimenting me for being so prudent.
They could have gotten killed down there.
I could have gotten killed down there.
Night Canter frowned as well.
Celestia drill my backside. You can be such a worrier. Danger's part of the Legionnaire package, remember? I did you a favor, Vanguard. The more you try to keep them out of trouble, the less prepared they'll be when they run into it by themselves.
Was that running through your mind when you met them in Ponyville?
Vanguard asked.
Or did you just come up with it afterwards when you knew I was going to talk to you about it?
Night Canter's lips twisted a little, all but answering Vanguard's question.
You know, it doesn't make me any less right either way, she said. Besides, you asked me, remember? It's not like I disobeyed orders. We're still both special operations captains, even if you did land yourself a harem of mares. You're not even captain of a full squad.
The last remark left Vanguard silent. He had been left too long without a full squad, and it certainly reflected badly upon him for delaying it so long. The smile returning to Night Canter's lips told him that she had guessed what his silence meant.
You know, I had spotted your vice captain making her way to the training yard, she said. Why don't you chat her up and see if you can get a squad together before we get sent out on our next mission?
She's not.
Vanguard caught himself. Applejack was only vice captain because he was assigned to lead them as the Elements of Harmony. He wasn't even suited for that role, and Dreadstep likely only needed the group to be guided by a more seasoned legionnaire. However, as he thought about it,
I'll see you later.
Night Canter waved and went off to finish a report. Vanguard made his way towards the training yard. In truth, he had been given a break, a few hours worth of it, but a break nonetheless. Before he took it, he wanted to see how his friends were doing. Just as Night Canter had said, Applejack was in the training yard, despite the rain. There were several broken top halves of practice dummies scattered near her. The bottom halves were well over 30 feet away. At the moment, she seemed to be practicing dance steps.
Shield up!
Applejack yelled. She rose on her hind legs and thrust her front hooves into the air. Nothing happened.
Golden shield! Queen's magic!
Still nothing.
Is this some kind of chosen morning ritual?
Vanguard asked. Applejack nearly jumped at that.
Vanguard! How long have you been watching me? No, it's not a chosen morning ritual, and are you here because we have to go on a mission?
Vanguard smiled.
Relax. I just want to have a little talk. You sure you should be standing in the rain?
Pony feathers. It's just a little drizzle. I'm not wasting a day's training over it.
Applejack shook some droplets from her mane, then looked skyward with a squint.
Why is it even raining anyway? It's winter.
Something about weather complications with the barrier down, I've been told.
Vanguard said.
Fenrir's winter hasn't blown through the heartland for centuries. The weather factories in Cloudsdale.
He frowned at that. He doubted he would ever get used to the idea of manufactured weather, or the very existence of Cloudsdale.
Still had a lot of rain clouds in surplus when Barrierland's weather started to move in. I don't know the details, and I honestly don't want to know. I just hope the Pegasi manage it.
He looked at Applejack in bemused interest.
And what exactly were you practicing just now? Cheering?
Applejack's face reddened.
No, she said. I was trying to get that magic shield thing I did back then.
Vanguard's eyes narrowed.
Magic shield?
He asked.
You know, from that fight with Nightmare Moon. I can't get it to come out again.
How did you come upon this ability anyway?
Applejack didn't look sure of her next words.
I think the Queen gave it to me. She said something about a gift before sending me back, so that's probably it.
Vanguard thought about it for a while. He knew little of the higher powers that existed within Ponykind, whether it was Prince Tirado, his sisters, or their parents.
Perhaps you should consult one of the Queen's children,
he said.
They might know how to utilize their mother's gift.
Applejack brightened.
You know what? That ain't a bad idea, she said.
Her spirits dampened quickly.
But how am I supposed to talk to any of them now? They all look really busy.
I'm sure they'll make time for an element of harmony. Anyway, where are the others?
Twilight went off to see her parents,
Applejack replied. She spoke with an ease that Vanguard approved of. She was getting used to doing this for him.
Rarity's gone off to check the city out, and she brought Fluttershy with her. Rainbow and Scarlet flew off somewhere, and Pinky... Well, Pinky just sort of wandered off with that stone tablet of hers.
Vanguard's thoughts went to Twilight. She had finally gone off to see her family. If she still insisted on signing up with his squad, he had no more reasons to refuse, save for arbitrary insistence on his part. Now that he thought about it, it was likely that she was the one who got the rest of her friends to follow Nightcanter's group out of some deep-seated curiosity about Clover the Clever. No matter how much he tried, she was going to keep getting into the thick of things. Perhaps...
Hey, Vanguard?
Vanguard shifted his attention back to Applejack.
Hmm?
Are you okay? I heard that you and Shining Armor went off to fight ghosts.
Vanguard shrugged.
Just one more mission.
He noticed Applejack's concerned gaze. Perhaps he had been too focused on just the possibility of Twilight Sparkle joining his squad. He also happened to need an Earth Pony skirmisher. Applejack wasn't an enormous bruiser like Blademane, and she was certainly nowhere near his former squadmate in experience, but he had spoken with Ironjaw over at Infantry, and remarks were good. More importantly, between Twilight Sparkle and Scarlet Rabbit, he could definitely use her. Nightcanter called Applejack his vice-captain. The concept of it sat surprisingly well with him. He had seen the botched paperwork that indeed tagged Applejack as a Special Operations vice-captain, and had already taken steps to correct the issue. But he may have been too hasty. Then there were his old reasons for why he didn't want Twilight to join up in the first place.
Vanguard?
Vanguard shook his head. He wasn't even completely sure that Twilight would insist on joining Special Operations. Maybe she would return from her family visit with her mind already changed.
I'll see you later, Applejack,
he said. Applejack nodded with a smile, and Vanguard went on his way.
Clash!
Vanguard was just about to step out into the street when another familiar voice called out to him from behind. He turned around and saw Captain Shining Armor walking towards him.
Armor,
he said.
Up and about already.
I can't afford to take a break,
Shining Armor replied.
Between the re-outfitting and the alcohol-related disturbances, the Royal Guard is swamped.
I'm sorry to hear about the boozing problems. An oversight on the Legion's behalf,
Vanguard said. Shining Armor answered with a wry smile of his own.
It can't be helped now, he said. There's some good news for me. I just heard that my wife has returned to Canterlot.
He looked around suspiciously before leaning closer.
You think Captain Nightcanter will stop giving me those looks if I introduce them?
He whispered.
Quite the opposite,
Vanguard replied.
If you let Nightcanter find out you're married, she'll start going for the both of you instead. That said, don't let me keep you from your happy reunion.
With a snort, Shining Armor patted Vanguard on the shoulder and moved on.
Clash,
he said.
Armor?
Vanguard replied. He was already considering that this was another possible complication. Shining Armor was unlikely to take it well if he found out that his sister had joined up with Special Operations. Vanguard moved on to Canterlot's streets. Canterlot was nothing like what he had ever seen before, even without considering the fantastic airships and the train. The overcast sky and the drizzle did nothing to dull the vivid colors or hide the elegant structures. Here was the picture of Princess Celestia's aesthetics, beauty and elegance in all things. Some of his fellow legionnaires complained that a well-placed catapult shot would probably bring down whole sections of Canterlot. The entire city didn't just fall off the cliffs. Vanguard didn't mind those details. Canterlot, even with its weaknesses and oddities, was a welcome change to Bastion City and Fangbreaker Fortress. Vanguard also noticed other details. Nearby Chosen stared at him warily, much more so than they did other legionnaires. The black barding and the red eyes were obvious reasons. He let the time pass, just walking around and observing. The rain eventually let up after a couple of hours, and he was soon staring down one street and towards a very familiar unicorn.
"Vanguard!"
Twilight called out. She had a very determined look on her face as she approached him. Vanguard braced himself. The faint hope of Twilight having changed her mind was already fading fast. Though she would rather go back to Ponyville and be with her family for a few more days, Rarity wasn't the sort to waste an opportunity when she saw one. Barrier or no barrier, she still considered Canterlot the center of equestrian fashion. She had thought of replacing their woven fur coats with something that was not only much more fashionable and just as functional, but also didn't require skinning a dead wolf-like creature. She went for the fabrics, the synthetic leather, threads, and even some feathers. This could very well be the opportunity to add some fashion into the Legion's outfits. She remembered to ask for permission first. The Legion responded to unsolicited changes to its outfits with whippings.
"Do you really think we should be out here shopping, Rarity?"
Fluttershy asked.
"I mean, what if they needed us?"
"Nonsense,"
Rarity replied.
"We're on a break, remember? We've gone out of our way to get that coffin and that book here, but that shouldn't mean that it's back to work. We should try to enjoy what's left of our 2 weeks."
"I suppose."
Rarity trotted over to the window of another store. Among the displayed items was a small frilly shirt, likely meant for a very young colt.
"Ooh, take a look at this one, Fluttershy. Don't you think it would make for a darling little outfit for Spike when he comes back in the spring?"
Don't you think he'd have grown by that time?"
Fluttershy asked.
"Grown? What makes you think that?"
"Well, he was saying something like that when he was explaining why he had to go, remember? Something about Prince Tirado calling him stunted, and Seathscale fixing that."
"Well, even if he grows, I'm sure I can make the necessary adjustments."
Rarity was about to enter when some pony calling out stopped her.
"Whoa there, apprentice," Hammerchain yelled. "I think you got plenty of fabric already. How about you grab some ore and maybe a new pair of tongs?"
"Hammerchain!"
Rarity exclaimed.
"But how did you get here? What about Fangbreaker and the rest of the Northern Legion, and..."
"Yes, yes, it's great to see you too,"
Hammerchain came over.
"A bunch of us over at the fort got sent here. I'm supposed to work with the Chosen and get them started on forging arms and armor."
He looked over to Fluttershy.
"They got Redbrand and Tailwind over here as well. It's apparently to facilitate the exchange of non-magical medical techniques and streamlining some groups called Wonderbolts. It's all too much of a coincidence, if you ask me."
"Redbrand is here?"
Fluttershy looked around.
"I hope he's all right. It's a long trip to Canterlot."
"Bah!" Hammerchain snorted. "He's a crusty old bastard, not some delicate flower. He's over at the Canterlot Hospital working with some Chosen doctors if you want to see him."
Fluttershy glanced briefly at Rarity, silently asking permission to go. With a nod from her friend, she was already flying off. With Fluttershy gone, Rarity led her thoughts straight to what Hammerchain had just said. Redbrand, Tailwind, and Hammerchain. Fluttershy, Rainbow Dash, and her. This was hardly a coincidence.
"Were you specifically ordered by Prince Tirado?"
she asked.
"The prince gave the order for various professionals to be sent to the Heartland," Hammerchain said. "I'm quite certain he never mentioned me by name. This is probably Dreadstep or some other pony assigned for the job."
He clapped Rarity on the back.
"I've got a foundry already set up by the city's outskirts. I hope you've been practicing, Rarity. I don't want to have to start from scratch with you."
"I still know them,"
Rarity said confidently.
"Good. Oh, and check this out."
Hammerchain pulled out a very old-looking book from his saddlebag.
"This is for you."
"A book?"
Rarity hesitated. If she was Twilight Sparkle, she'd probably be jumping for joy right now. Beat-up old books weren't exactly her sort of thing, unless it was a book on fashion. She enveloped it in her magic and drew it close.
"What is it about?"
she asked.
"You're looking at a copy of Mageblade Combat," Hammerchain said proudly. "The original is written by the legendary Lioncourt himself. I knew I had a copy somewhere, and I looked for it when you first found those mage blades I made. I only managed to find it when I was already packing my things."
"Yet another fortunate coincidence,"
Rarity said. She flipped some pages over, noticing the illustrations of unicorns with mage blades floating above them. This was exactly the sort of thing she needed. She knew that the lack of other mage blade users in the Legion would make it difficult for her to improve her skills. A manual was no substitute for an experienced teacher, but it was much better than nothing at all.
"Coincidence is right," Hammerchain added. "It was sitting on top of a pile of things when I found it. I still can't believe how I missed it all this time."
"Regardless, thank you for this, Hammerchain," Rarity said. "I'm sure I'll find this useful."
Before she could say anything else, a shadow suddenly passed over her. She looked up, but all she saw was a fleeting blur of rainbow colors.
"Rainbow?"
she muttered. She remembered seeing Rainbow talking to Scarlet earlier, before she left with Fluttershy. She could only hope that her friend was safe.
"So where are we going?"
Rainbow asked as she flew next to Scarlet Rabbit. His speed wasn't lost on her. Time and again, the ease by which he could reach these speeds had her worried. When she had first joined up with Flight Dreadwing, Tailwind had admonished her for not observing Scarlet before challenging him. Now that she was doing just that, Rainbow's confidence was starting to falter. Scarlet flew too easily with all his barding on. She couldn't even tell how much effort he was putting into flying, making it all but impossible to gauge just how fast he could get.
"I want to show you something,"
Scarlet replied. The scenery zipped past while he weaved through the groups of Pegasi, sharing Canterlot's sky with them. Even the air wasn't safe from the bustle of all the activity in the Heartland's capital. The more important supplies that had to be moved in and out of the city were carried by Pegasi. Legionnaires already had patrol routes that mixed in with the Royal Guard patrols. Finally, Scarlet landed in the middle of a large gathering of crates. He dove into one group, then held up a small keg triumphantly.
"What is that?"
Rainbow asked.
"It's a keg of rainbow,"
Scarlet crowed.
"Can you believe it? When I took a trip to Cloudsdale, I had to get one."
Rainbow raised an eyebrow.
"A keg of rainbow?"
she asked.
"What do you need that stuff for? You're not a weather Pegasus."
"Have you tasted this stuff?"
Scarlet asked. He turned the spigot and took a quick gulp. Rainbow winced. The stuff Scarlet just drank could burn a hole in a pony's tongue. He exhaled through his mouth loudly.
"Oh boy! I'm having this stuff shipped off to Fangbreaker. I just know Stormbrew can make it into some kind of drink. We'll call it Scarlet and Stormbrew's Rainbow Booze. Wait, wait!"
He waved his arms, imagining the sign.
"Scarlet and Stormbrew's Rainbows."
Rainbow stared at Scarlet's antics. It was like watching a hyperactive colt instead of a legionnaire. He almost seemed not dangerous at all.
"So,"
Scarlet said, his smiling face turning into an intensely inquisitive gaze.
"How about that race? You'll even get a hometown advantage."
"Scarlet, I don't live in Canterlot."
"Then we'll race wherever you want here in the Heartland."
"About that."
A slight frown creased Scarlet's face. Rainbow swallowed nervously. She could hear her heart starting to race.
"What is it?"
he asked.
"Is it true that you beat up Overcast because he lost to you?"
The frown deepened.
"Overcast?"
Scarlet asked.
"How'd you find out about him?"
Rainbow recounted everything Rarity and Vanguard told her, observing Scarlet carefully as she did so.
"So, is that all true?"
she asked.
"Well, I remember wanting to kick Overcast's flank, but it wasn't that serious,"
Scarlet said.
"I mean, he was alive when they transferred him to the Western Barrier Land, right?"
"So, if I lose..."
"You know, you shouldn't even compare yourself to that idiot. He talked a good game, got me excited, then didn't even make it a good race. He was a loser, a slow braggart of a loser who deserved a thumping."
He leaned closer towards Rainbow.
"He's nowhere near a Pegasus like you, right? You're fast. You've got your sonic rain boom, and most importantly, you mean what you say."
Rainbow took a step back. She agreed with everything Scarlet had said about her. Though she had never met Overcast, she just knew that she could do so much better than him. Refusing now was to admit her loss, no matter how she looked at it, and Scarlet would see it in the same way. She had goaded him too much, and he'd lose all respect for her if she suddenly backed off now. Besides, never finding out just how the race would have turned out was sure to drive her crazy. Yet, the price of failure continued to eat away at her. What was she supposed to do now?
So, how about it? Scarlet asked again.
I...
Rainbow closed her eyes. Every option seemed to lead to something bad. Every option except... winning. Beating Scarlet was the only option she could take. She gathered her confidence once more. She had to win. Worrying would only slow her down. She had to have faith in her speed and her sonic rainboom.
All right, let's do this.
Great!
Scarlet crowed.
Pick a place and set the rules.
The two of them flew off, with Rainbow leading the way. If she was to go through with this race, it had to be where Vanguard and the others wouldn't spot them. She didn't want to outright leave Canterlot, though. The outermost areas would do well enough.
Twice around all of Canterlot,
she called out behind her. She glanced back and saw Scarlet nod eagerly.
So how was your visit with your family?
Vanguard took a sip of his coffee and winced. He frowned at the bowl of sugar next to him and pushed it away.
It was great,
Twilight replied as she stirred her mug. She had asked Vanguard to join her for a drink in her favorite cafe, Donut Joe's, where they could talk. She smiled wistfully and remembered the tearful reunion. Her mother had not even given her any time to say anything before smothering her with a bone-bruising hug.
Twilight! Oh, Twilight! It's, really good to see you again, too, Mother. Oh, my little filly!
I should have visited sooner,
Twilight said.
Then why didn't you stay longer?
Vanguard asked.
You could have stayed for a couple of days without any problems.
I thought of that, too,
Twilight replied. She added a couple of teaspoons of sugar into her coffee. Her mind went back to the coffin still stored in the palace, as well as the book.
But I'd just be overcome with restlessness. There's just so much to do.
She took a sip from her mug and found the coffee still too bitter.
I hope you don't regret this, Twilight Sparkle. Equestria will always have enemies, but you won't always have these moments with your loved ones.
I'll see them again when Black Rose has been defeated,
Twilight said. She set her mug down a little too forcefully. She glanced apologetically towards Bagel Jane when some of the liquid spilled on the table. The White Earth Pony Mare walked over to clean it up. Bagel Jane had taken over the cafe when her older brother responded to the draft.
I just can't feel at ease knowing that she's the one raising the sun every day,
she added. Vanguard didn't answer.
Now that I've seen my family, will you let me join your squad?
Twilight asked. Vanguard sighed and stared at Twilight. She matched his gaze.
You're really determined to do this, aren't you?
He asked.
Black Rose is the real enemy here, Twilight said. I'm not going to encounter her across the battlefield in Wolvengard or any place past the Barrier Lands. If I want to confront her, it will be through special operations missions.
Her gaze hardened. The more she thought about it, the surer she was. The Wolven were dangerous invaders. Although she had never seen them, she knew that the Ursins and the Ophidites were likely just as bad. But Black Rose had hurt Princess Celestia herself, and she was going down first.
If you won't take me, I'll apply for a different squad.
You don't need to issue ultimatums,
Vanguard said.
I'll take you.
He paused for another sip.
You and Applejack.
Twilight's eyes widened.
Applejack? She asked. Did she ask to join too?
No,
Vanguard replied.
But I'll ask her to join. I also need an Earth Pony skirmisher after all. I think she'll say yes.
Twilight looked away in a futile attempt to hide her surprise.
You all right?
Vanguard asked.
What's wrong?
Nothing, really,
Twilight replied after composing herself.
So, why Applejack?
Why not? She's strong, dependable, and you know her already.
The two of them were quiet for a while. Twilight had finished her coffee by the time she spoke again.
That's all?
She asked.
What else does she need to be?
Twilight hesitated. It was as if her mouth had gone out of control, and she had to rein it in. Why did she have to ask that, anyway? What was she expecting Vanguard to say?
Nothing,
she said.
Never mind. I'm glad you let me join. Won't you need to do some paperwork for it?
I'll take care of it. Just to make sure, if you're in my squad, I expect you to follow orders. Don't think I won't hand out punishments if you get out of line.
I know,
Twilight said. Something was wrong. She should be relieved that Vanguard had finally accepted. But she suddenly had this strange feeling that something bad was happening at the moment. On his hidden perch, Longstride watched the skies patiently as the clouds began to clear up. Though he had only recently made his report to Black Rose, he had been waiting by this spot for well over 2 days now. Under the perch, Hasith's indoctrinated ponies and their Ophidite handler waited for his signal. He expected to give that signal very soon. Black Rose had promised to nudge his target. That could mean a lot of things when it came to how she would do it, but he had only one response. His bow lay next to him, the magical inscriptions glowing softly. His mark finally showed. He squinted, his enhanced vision making out what was merely a dot with a trail of bright colors following behind it. That was enough. He strung his bow and aimed.
This is Longstride, he said.
The device attached to his collar carried his voice to both Black Rose and the Ophidite.
Target sighted.